My pleasure this morning to introduce a man that we have come to know and trust as a true apostle of God. And one of the things that Lloyd said yesterday that so characterizes Glenn is that he's like John. He has his head on the Father's heart all the time. And so for several years he's been speaking into our lives and by way of confirmation, direction, and we have appreciated that. And the love that will flow forth is going to be amazing to you. I've never known a more humble man. He is a minister of JTL Ministries, has the JTL ministry letter that many people are familiar with. It's been a guiding light for us in the last 2 years and confirmed so many things that God has spoken to us. How many of you like confirmation? When God says, yeah, you're going the right way, you're doing the right thing, glory to his mighty name. So without further ado, Glenn, would you come and speak what the Lord has put on your heart to us?
Amen. Well, the first thing I'd like to say is I need to pray for grace to stand to minister. Thank you, Bill, for that warm blessing and introduction. There's so much to cover, as there always is. But thank God he's created a way to accomplish things in this last hour which will allow us to accelerate and be elevated into the things, into the fullness of the thoughts and intentions of his heart. So I'd ask you to turn to Luke 10:27 and keep your finger there and also go over to Ephesians 3. I'm just so thankful for this environment that God has created for us this weekend. As I'm going to speak on here, the importance of spiritual environment Amen. Is great. Amen. And that goes from meetings such as this to right into the family life. Now in Luke 10:27, well first let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we so much thank you for this time together. We thank you for this environment that you've created for us. We thank you, Father, that in this environment that you cause your word to go forth, the deepest thoughts and intentions of your heart. Father, we pray that you are glorified to the greatest degree in all that we say and do. We thank you, Father, that the name of Jesus is exalted to the greatest degree in all that we say and do. We thank you, Father, that Satan and his forces are devastated to the greatest degree in all that we say and do. And we thank you, Father, that your precious children are blessed and elevated to the greatest degree in all that's said and done this weekend. In Jesus' name, we declare it done. Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to get your minds ready to receive and your hearts ready to receive a revelation that's so necessary for the time we're entering into, and that is this. We have to understand that the entire Word of God was spoken and written in and by the Holy Spirit through the eyes of the Father, and it concerns the hearts of a people that are wholly given. Amen. That is what everything is based on. We've seen the results of what's happened with men and women who have mentally ascended to the Word of God. The reason for all mental ascension to the Word of God is preconceived notions and self-agenda. But God is raising up a people whose hearts are wholly given, who abide in that place of the divine requirement. Let's take a look at Luke 10:27. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Amen. In that, the law of love is declared. And it is so important, and especially in this last hour, that we come into that place of the inner chamber. I can't go far in writing or speaking without mentioning the inner chamber. You know, Bill's talked about the Holy of Holies. We've all been in the different places, and in the busyness of activity in the outer court, and so on, but now is the time. I had the glorious opportunity to spend some quality time with Bill and Marcia on Wednesday, and You know, what was amazing is we shared with each other, we just were on the same wavelength. I mean, not that that's so surprising, but it's always a blessing when that's confirmed. Because as many of you know, and I'm sure many of you are in positions where you're faced with provocation to violate the law of love every day. So, but I've got some good news for you, because we're going to go into talk about the importance of spiritual environments, and these environments are created in and by the Holy Spirit in accordance with the deepest thoughts and intentions of the Father's heart. So let's go over to Ephesians 3. Now, there is absolutely nowhere to start here. I was meditating on the word this morning, and I started with the scripture that God had given me last night to deal with, and I kept going back and right out of chapter 3 and into chapter 2. But for the sake of time, I'm going to have to do this by faith. And we know that, of course, Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus. And if you go to verse... Okay, I'm going to go to verse 10. Now, you know, Paul's been talking to the church, and he explained a lot of things, and then he gives the purpose for the things he's explained up until there. He says, in order, in verse 10, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore, and this will touch on some things that John and Lloyd said yesterday, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. And what I'm speaking to you here is that any tribulations you go forth, and Peter dealt with it later on, it is a catalyst to the release of the glory of God. In other words, what I'm saying is, if you will maintain the love walk at all cost to yourself, then the glory of God will show up sooner or later, but always on time.
Amen.
And for the accomplishment of his purpose and the vindication of his children. Now, in verse 14, Paul writes, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father. That's key. From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And here's the prayer, and I want you to get this. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, in other words, that's what's going to happen as you come into that place of intimate fellowship with the Father and his Word, the Holy Spirit will continually shed the love of God abroad in your heart. And there's a purpose for this. Okay, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Now he's talking about coming to that position. And that's where we all must be in this hour. There is no exceptions.
Amen.
You are going to have that, or you're going to have religion, but there are no exceptions.
Amen.
Now, and so he says, after being rooted and grounded in love, that the saints may be able to comprehend. Now that's the key line that the Father gave me to share here today. With all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth? And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now the key to all these things is this. The importance of walking in love, and we've all been trained in this specific way that God needed to train us, and he continues to do that. And as I share later, you'll understand that there will be a time coming in the not too distant future, and some may even be going through it now. There is going to be a release of precious wisdom and revelation from the throne room of God coming through the apostles and prophets, but the filtering down process will quickly, as the net image that was given yesterday, will quickly go through and affect vast areas in a way that's totally beyond our comprehension at this time, and with a speed and power that's totally beyond our comprehension. And this is the key to this verse. So we need to be rooted and grounded in love so that we may be able. Now this is the key. If the child of God holds on to self-agenda maintains fear for whatever reason, and the security that comes from this world, which is non-existent, it's a false security. Amen. The things that seem secure now, in a very short time, will no longer remain. It's time to build our foundation. And here again is the key. We need to be rooted and grounded in love as God begins to release the apostles, as he begins to release a true working fivefold ministry in the midst of his people. The prerequisite is that we must, each one of us, be rooted and grounded in love. Amen. So that we may be able to comprehend what's coming. Without the intimate fellowship with the Father and his Word, and this is without exception, God is no respecter of persons, one will not be able to comprehend the glorious things that are about to come upon us, that are even coming upon us now. So that's very, very important. Now last year, what God gave me to speak on, and what he'd been teaching me for about 2 months, he was talking about relationship, impartation, and restoration. Now we touched on some of this last night, actually acting it out and operating on it. Now, first of all, those three things apply to us as individual believers. One, our relationship with God. To let, so that we might come to the place that we love the Lord our God with all of our being. Amen. From that place of intimate fellowship comes impartation. Now I'm talking on an individual level, a personal level for us now. That impartation is the love of the Father shed abroad in our heart. Right? It is the mind of Christ being expanded in us continually and being released into our lives, into our thinking, you know, as we continually bring every thought captive to Christ, to the revealed knowledge that's in our hearts, then we are, our minds are being expanded, our hearts are being enlarged continually. And I'm telling you right now, that is a process that must go on daily and will continue to go on daily, and especially in this hour, because of the things that God is about to release in the midst of his people, in the midst of his faithful people, the hearts that are wholly given, are beyond the comprehension that we've had up until now. Just a short time ago, he began to speak to me about a new level of discernment. My first thought was, you know, there's some pretty good discernment going on in the body of Christ right now. I mean, you know, the ministries that God has hooked you up with and the precious men and women of God who are ministering from out of the throne room, there's some wonderful discernment. So my first thought was, wow, what does that mean? And I don't know what that means. But when we come into this place, but I know we need it. That's when God says he's going to give us something. We need it. Amen. You know, and so there's a purpose in that. So he began, as I said, on this individual level of relationship with God, as we come into proper relationship with the Father and his Word, there is an impartation. Now, from an individual level, that means that we're having the things imparted to us that we need to fulfill everything that we were created to fulfill in Christ. That's what that means. Now, some have been in it for many years, but many are going to come in from this point forth. And this is what God is preparing, and I say this to these people here because I know that you people are called to servanthood / leadership. You know, in serving you shall lead, and in leading you shall serve. That's the way it is. And so there's a preparation, an acceleration in these things. And again, I'm gonna share more on some of the practical things that God is going to do as far as establishing true ministry and these true spiritual environments that are necessary for the vast multitude of souls that are about to come into the kingdom. And I say into the kingdom. Amen. I didn't say into the church. Praise God. I thank God for the day that the church and the kingdom will be synonymous. Amen. But I'm saying into the kingdom. Yeah. That's important. So the three elements again were this relationship, of course, as it individually relates to us, the impartation that we receive there from our loving Father, that coming into that place as we come to know him of absolute trust, the rising above of all the hurts and the pains that we experienced at the hands of our own parents, perhaps, at the hands of various authorities. These are the things that God wants to bring us up above, so that we might come into that absolute trust. And believe me, he is perfect, as you know. He is the perfect Father. His tenderness, his affection, and his heart towards his children is something in itself to behold. You know, and this is this I say this to you now because, yes, we have a warfare ahead of us, and we have many other things ahead of us. But this is the thing that God created us for, and this is the thing that he's bringing us back to. I don't want to get ahead of myself. It's hard not to. Through this impartation, then, comes this restoration. Now, when you talk about the restoration, the divine restoring or restorative power of God, it's not like the world's definition of restore. The world could say, in a loose definition, if somebody borrowed $5, then the person returned that to them, they could say, they restored that $5 to me. Now, we know of the scriptures that have dealt with the things that God is going to restore, the things that the devil has stolen, and he's stolen much. I mean, that's been in our face for many, many, many years. But now the Father is moving to restore his people, first of all, of course, back to himself, but also to restore all that the devil has stolen.
Amen.
And in restoring this, these things, he restores them in ways. I mean, obviously, certain things are lost from a physical or a natural standpoint, some things, such as children, perhaps, that just to give you one example. The thing is this, that when God restores something, he not only restores it in that element to a greater degree than we had before, even if that is impossible to have the exact same thing, he always does exceeding abundantly beyond all we could ask or think in this restoring process. But two, and this is a key thing, he restores the years. He restores the time that was lost. And there's a lot more on this. I can't stay on this too long right now. But this is an absolute truth that's about to manifest in such glorious ways. And so when these many people begin to see the living Christ in the church, and they begin to experience the tender love of the Father, and they reach out from a position which they couldn't before, because they were reaching out to a cold, hard-hearted church at times, and therefore they were rejected once again, and it just confirmed the view that Satan had given them of God, or created an image of God through spirits of transference and such, to see this cold, austere, hard-hearted, separated from his children type of God, and it's not true. And we will play a large part, of course, the people here and other people throughout the body of Christ, in restoring the true image of the Father through our practical obedience day in, day out. You know, through the pouring forth of the love of God through us wherever he sends us and to whomever we minister. So the third part then is the restoration. Now, after experiencing those three things, this whole element, as the child of God partakes of these things, it's an abiding and an ongoing process. Then that cycle goes around again. And now the child of God is prepared for ministry, whatever that might mean. That might mean to your family, that you might have a ministry that's international, so to speak. It doesn't make any difference. I want to clarify one other thing right now. And if there's any doubt in anybody's heart here of the principle of the body of Christ, I want to just absolutely obliterate that now. The Father gave me a vision some time back, and I saw... I saw my public school auditorium, and maybe you can picture, you know how the gyms are so small, and then they have a stage, a platform, and it's not as big because generally you don't have that, you know, many big things happening there. And on that stage, I saw different people, and they were standing right across the stage. Now, I knew that it went to eternity. There was no end on either side of the people that were standing there hand in hand, side by side. And there I saw men, and I saw women. I saw blacks, I saw whites, I saw Jews, I saw Greeks, I saw the whole spectrum of humanity. And they were all holding hands, and the Father said, "This is the way I view my children." There were apostles, there were prophets, there were janitors in the church. That's the way the Father sees his children. You have to have that revelation. Because if people are going to receive the true working fivefold ministry in the midst of God's people, they're going to have to understand, and I know you've heard this before, but unfortunately it still goes on, this whole superstar status. Yeah. I mean, if that's not of the world, then what is? Of course it is. Yeah. And it's a spirit of idolatry, and God is coming to move very, very harshly against that. He hates it, and he hates rebellion, and that's what it's the product of. So, as then the individual believer comes into this place of true relationship, receives the necessary impartation. This is an ongoing process. And the restorative power of God in their life. Now they become a fit vessel to administer that very love and restorative power of God to the people. Now, this is true evangelism. It doesn't matter whether you're evangelist or not. You know, I mean, there's some evangelism needed for those who have been caught up in religion, in the church. So there's all types of evangelism. The main thing is, and the only desire of the Father's heart, well, two desires. First, to bring his children back to that place of proper fellowship with him, and to bring his children into the fullness of their inheritance in Christ. Now, with a view to all these things, God began to speak to me some years ago concerning glorious connections or divine connections. Many of those are being, this is happening right now. And in your personal lives, I'm sure that there's many testimonies concerning these things. Now, a glorious connection is simply defined as this. It is a connection that has its beginning and its end in God. And it's been ordained and constructed and caused by the Holy Spirit and the obedience of the individuals involved. That is an absolute thing. That this is not, everybody's talking about networking, that's fine. But as you know, as in all things, it better be the Holy Spirit behind it.
Amen.
Boy, I'll tell you, there has been some great hindrances to the work of God and the will of God in the past 10 years even, through a false movement. People have had, they've had the revelation. They've received the revelation in the inner chamber, but they took the ball and ran with it. And that is, there's coming an end to that. If you take the ball and run with it from here on in, you're going to run into the outer darkness. You will not understand, and you will not be fit for the work of the kingdom. Now, I'm saying that to you people here because I know you're going to be called to minister that. And I know you're going to run into people that still want to take the ball and run. The prayer for them is, break their legs, Lord, break their legs. You're better to have a broken leg. You're better to have a broken leg than to forfeit the precious calling that's yours in Christ. Now, through these glorious connections which God has been doing, and that will continue. That's an ongoing thing. We're seeing that unfold. And this is a principle I want you to understand, that as we go forth in obedience day in and day out, what's going to happen is things are going to unfold. Now, God's not going to give the plan to one man or one woman. He's not even going to give the whole plan to anybody except the corporate body of Christ. And he's only going to reveal that plan as it's needed to be revealed. The way he showed this to me was this, and it was an old movie I saw years ago, and it had to do with the Behind the Iron Curtain when it was still there. And they used to send these spies in, and they would say they had 10 people on the project. They would give each person a part of the plan, and then they would go in. Now, if one got caught, they didn't know the whole plan. You know, they could torture them, they could do anything, and they couldn't get it out of them. And so the point is that all these people had the plan, and as they carried out their portion of the plan, then the fullness of the plan unfolded. Okay, now, so it's very, very important, this whole matter of individual obedience, because it's individual obedience that will produce and cause the body of Christ not only to unify, but to rise to her proper place in this earth, which is far above the principalities and powers. You know, seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. Now, so the glorious connections. Now, spiritual environments. Now, this is a topic that's been very, very close to my heart. I have a very difficult time. As a matter of fact, I don't think I can see anything apart from spiritual environments. Now, what God defines a spiritual environment as is an environment in which his children, in which the greatest spiritual growth possible is promoted where his children are concerned. Now, whatever that means, that could be a family, a husband and a wife and children, of course. That could be two believers getting together to pray. That could be ministries. That can be, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, the cities of refuge that are going to be necessary and that are coming. Yeah. So all these things are on a bigger or a smaller scale. To say they're just as important, but they all have the same principle, and that is it's the Holy Spirit that creates these environments. As each child of God is faithful to pray and to obey, he is going to raise up and create these environments. These environments will, again, promote the greatest spiritual growth possible in that moment, any given moment you can talk about, And this is happening this weekend. This is a spiritual environment that God has created. And he will be able to be God in the midst of his people. So in these environments, then, the key to this, as people are obedient and the true spiritual environment is created, we know the kind of environments the devil's trying to create. Environments where the word of God is powerless and to set the captives free. And environments where division is working continually, especially in marriages, any ministry, it doesn't make any difference. Division is division, and it will accomplish the same thing. But now we're going to get a revelation of what unity and one accord will cause. And again, it goes back to the initial scripture in Ephesians that we dealt with. It has been a decelerating program for me in the last little while. The more that God shows me, the more I realize I cannot and will not understand until such a time as he opens that door. It is incomprehensible. I can speak on that for about 20 seconds, but then all I can see after that is glory. And I can see the glorious church behind that. And it's going to be an awesome sight. It's funny, you know, just the way that God brought me along when I left the last secular job I had was August 83, and he told me to eat, sleep, drink, and breathe his word. I didn't know what that meant. I mean, I was just the first of a many times of going out not knowing where I was going, but I knew who told me to go, so that's all that matters. It doesn't matter about anything else. And I went out into that environment. That was a glimpse. I mean, God's taught me through glimpses, and he has all of us throughout the years. We've received glimpses of what's to come, you know, and we couldn't comprehend the fullness. We had a hard time getting through the glimpses, actually, because there were things to learn. There was a revelation of the cross that was needed, you know, in each of our lives. It always is. It always will be. It is the catalyst to all that's about to come. But now God is moving to exalt those who have humbled themselves before him, and he is also moving to humble those who have exalted themselves before him. This is a time of absolutes. This is the time when the word of God will be revealed in his absoluteness. When Jesus spoke the words he spoke in the Gospels, and through Paul and through anybody else that spoke throughout the ages, there's an absolute place in those words, and we're coming into that as the body of Christ. And again, that goes back to the need for us to continually allow our hearts to be enlarged by God, our minds to be expanded. I'm going to talk more on that. Praise God, I'm going to get this in. Because this is building to something that's very, very, very important and in a place we're in now. So, in these spiritual environments that God is creating, what needs to happen is for the removal of all stumbling blocks. Now, God's going to create some new environments by bringing people together, such as he has here. And of course, this is an ongoing work here at Faith Tabernacle. And I'm believing that before we finish on Sunday, I have some words to speak concerning this particular work and some certain things that the Father would say. There are works that have environments that have already begun, and this is a glorious thing that's going on here. Praise God! I am so fulfilled in seeing the steps of faith, even in the last year, that the precious people here have taken, and it is a pleasing thing to the Father's heart. And again, in light of the fact that these things are about to explode in our midst, this is a critical time of preparation. And we'll see why just shortly. In these environments, then, that are already out there, there's families out there that are already established. There's certain church congregations, and I speak now to those who are at least have a degree of heart towards God and the fullness of his plan. Those who are locked into control, self-agenda, those types of things, they will have to repent or the judgment of God will fall. But there will be a removal of all stumbling blocks in the lives of every last child of God whose heart is wholly given to him to carry out his purposes. That is the promise of the Father. What that means now in the families, I say this with a very great holy caution, because, you know, I hold the covenant of marriage, and I hold all the aspects of the covenant to a very high degree. But I will say this, that in certain cases, people will be removed because they're not walking in that covenant where marriage is concerned, or ministry or anything else. And there will be some very surprising and shocking things. We must be ready, and we must be hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, because there will be great ministry needed and great restoration needed in certain places. But when it comes right down to it, whatever the devil has tried to accomplish in the midst of God's people in the past 2,000 years, whatever strongholds he's been allowed to build, God is coming after those spirits of control in a big way. And now people are going to have their eyes opened so that they can make the proper choice, so that they can realize that they were bought with a price and they are no longer to live for themselves. That is an absolute revelation. That is a declaration. That is not an option. It is a reality that we must all hold fast to. So there will be the removal of all stumbling blocks. Now, again, that also covers those who are ministering out of a spirit of control, ministering. And of course, the things they're ministering, and as we've seen this happen in the past few years, they're getting further and further and further away from the cross, further and further and further away from the revealed knowledge of God's Word, and deeper and deeper into traditions, into mindsets that are far, far, far below the desire of the Father's heart for His children. And this will end, because I was sitting on a runway somewhere, and I saw this conveyor belt pushed up to the plane. They were going to put the luggage and baggage on. And the Father spoke to me, and I watched the luggage go up the conveyor belt, and He said, "I'm beginning to move now. I have an agenda where my children are concerned. It's my desire to bring my children into that place of intimate fellowship with Me forever." That's always been His goal. You know, the first thing that happened when man fell was that the Father lost that fellowship with His precious creation. And all through the years, and the plan of redemption being instituted, and all the Old Testament prophets walking through and bringing things to a point where the Word of God could be born into the earth. And then all through the church age, it's always been Satan's plan to keep those people out of the presence of the Father. I just thought that in that place of intimate fellowship with the Father is a place, you come into a place of agreement with Him. It's a heart agreement that will sustain you and propel you and certainly cause you to accomplish everything that you were created to accomplish in Christ. And this is the importance, and that's why the devil fights with everything he has to keep us out of that place. And so the very last thing now that's coming full circle is this desire of the Father's heart to come into perfect, for His children to come into perfect relationship with Him. There is coming a time of unprecedented blessing in the body of Christ. You know, and I know a lot of people have bandied that word about, and I don't know why. I mean, it's not as if God's going to bless sin. You know, it's not as if God's going to bless rebellion. And again, it goes back to the fact that we must read the Word of God in light of the fact of the divine requirement of a heart wholly given. You know, and I mean, really, and you all know this, I know, but is it really too much to ask in light of what Jesus did? I think not, of course. All right, so these spiritual environments, and again, that's going to unfold in each life here, because there are different scales. But the importance of them is so key. And the key to it is this. When we are operating in a true spiritual environment, one that's created completely and entirely by God, then God can be God in our midst. He's not limited. It means that the need of every person, the deepest need, He always looks at the deepest need. We're praying for our needs. We don't even know what our deepest needs are, but He does. You know, but in this place, the deepest needs of the people will be met. Now, my ministry is to those who are called to minister to the ministers. You know, and yeah, well, that's okay. That takes on a new meaning when you realize there's a lot of ministers out there. They're going to do great and mighty things. So every member is equal. Every member is a minister. You know, we're not. So anyway, but this is happening, and so I get an opportunity to speak And when I'm speaking to people, God's preparing them to minister.
Amen.
For those who are called to minister to the ministers. This thing is, it's expanding. I mean, this thing is filtering down from the throne room, and it is going to touch every last place in this earth.
Yeah.
I mean, the word of God is going to come to pass. It's His will that not one soul should perish. And, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself again. Praise God, but that's all right. We'll get there. Now, boy, one thing we have to realize is that our God is a God of pinpoint accuracy. You know, and as we come into that place of faith, obedience, true worship, they're all linked in together. It's not a matter of singing a few songs and we're worshiping God and go out and do what we want the rest of the week. No, to worship is to live a life wholly given, to abide in that holy place with Him. And, boy, praise God. In this last hour, we will need to walk in that pinpoint accuracy. Now, in this pinpoint accuracy, I'll tell you why it's so important. When you're walking in this place of laying down any preconceived notions and allowing God to reveal what He needs to reveal to your heart in any given moment, and as you act on those things, and you are going to be in a position to allow God to bear maximum fruit for the kingdom. In other words, a simple act of obedience, God is doing a million facets of His will behind our prayers, and our simple obedience will cause these things to come to pass. And it doesn't matter whether you're ministering one-on-one, it doesn't matter whether you're ministering to your family, it doesn't matter whether you're ministering in Paul Young, He chose church. The fact is, the deepest needs of the people will be met, and ultimately the greatest, the maximum fruit will be born for the kingdom. And the greatest acceleration in the establishment of the true church, the glorious church, will happen. Now, you can get an idea from this that as many, many people begin to come into this place of abiding. And the reason why this is so important is because we don't have our hand in this. Now, you know, we've talked about, there's the office of the apostle and the other different offices. But every last member of the body of Christ is apostolic in nature. And I'll give you a simple definition. It's the one the Father gave me, and it served me well. And it's this. Whether you're called to be an apostle or not, it doesn't make any difference. The fact is, we are all called to apostolic ministry. And I'll give you a definition right now. It's simply this. Christ, all in all. Now, if Christ is all in all, that doesn't leave any room for us. You know, that makes sense. So, God's training us and making us, probably bringing us to the realization that this is even all possible. But it is possible, because He said it was possible. Not only did He say it was possible, He said it was His will. So it's got to be possible. And I'm seeing this. I've had glimpses of this, particularly in the last 7 months at Fulton. We've seen just a mini glimpse of what's happening. But this is ready to take on fresh legs. I shared with Bill and Marcia when I had the opportunity on Wednesday concerning a vision God gave me. I was going through a time, don't remember when it was now, it seems a long ways away, but God showed me a finish line, and I saw myself, and I was not sprinting to the finish line, I was crawling to this finish line, and I thought, my God, I mean, am I even going to make this, you know, but I saw myself, and then I saw other people, and I saw many people, they seemed to be struggling. God didn't seem too concerned about it, but they seemed to be struggling with some things. And really, that was the significance of that part of the vision, was that God was dealing with His children in a very deep place, you know, and bringing us into the place where we really truly would be wholly given to Him. You know, we really truly would be walking and abiding and above that place where the fear of man could enter in and these types of things. Of course, we have to guard our heart with all diligence every day. That'll never change. But it gets much easier when there's that tearing away that was mentioned, that Shelley mentioned last night. And it is so funny. Shelley preached that. I mean, I remember when I started out, I mean, I was so reluctant to allow God to tear things away. Well, I wanted it, but my flesh didn't. And so I was very slow to do it in certain things. But the funny thing is, as I went around the mountain, you know, 20 or 30 times on certain issues, and finally got to that place of desperation that Shelley talked about, God would come in and speak a single word, and it would be over.
Amen.
And I think, why did I just spend 5 months going through that? Well, you know, I mean, obviously those days are over now. We don't have the time, and thank God that he had mercy on the stubborn. You know, praise God. But we're coming into that place where we need to come into an absolute trust of the Father, because he is so precious and tender, and there are no hard spots in that place. You know what's a hard spot is the place of rebellion, the place of fear, that he would somehow do something to us that would be less than excellent. I mean, yeah, how can you put it in words? So anyway, we're all going to experience that to a greater degree than we even are in these days. Now, wow, praise God. All right, so again, getting back to the perfect accuracy that God desires. You know, we talk, the word talks about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. It talks about seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. And I'm telling you, when you begin to do that, and you begin to get a hunger and thirsting after the deepest thoughts and intentions of the Father's heart, you begin to go for that pinpoint accuracy. I'm talking about, this is in actions, it's in words. You know, Lloyd was talking about words yesterday. The importance of words, well, that's a whole different time and place and seminar, but it is, they are important. And now, each one of us need to be aiming for those perfect words. You know, even take it down to that family level between a husband and a wife. You know, each one of you have the capability to speak the perfect word in the perfect moment. And each time you do that, you're building and building. Words create images in people's hearts. What the Father is doing in this hour, and this is part of this whole time of proper relationship with him, that is what he imparts. You know, he imparts his heart to us. And in that place, we have the perfect words to speak. I have seen the effect of these perfect words in many, many different situations. I can bring the example of the handmaidens. It's close to my heart. When God, in the beginning of 98, when the Father instructed me to enter into this particular phase of what the ministry letter is doing, the first thing he began to speak to me about was his daughters. Because of, we know about all the religious tradition and all the different things. And boy, I'll tell you, there's been very few times where I've seen the Father upset. That was one of them. And the only thing I could think of was, you know, let's pray for the people who are held in bondage to these religious spirits. Not only that keep women down, but anybody else that you know, is called to ministry. He began to give me words to minister, you know, to these precious handmaidens, some obviously some through the ministry letter, but also certain people that were coming across my scope of existence, you know, where the Father was leading me. And I saw an amazing thing happen. They were simple words. They were not profound words, but they were from the Father. And the effect, the restorative effect that they immediately had on these precious handmaidens was a remarkable thing to me. And the best way I can describe it was, you know, I'm not an expert in flowers by any stretch of the imagination, but there are certain flowers that I think even at night they fold up, you know, and then they come out when the light comes. And I just began to see, I saw this in a vision, I saw these precious flowers, and they were all, it was dark around them, and they were folded up and, you know, very, very confined and constrained. And I saw, as the love of God went forth, I saw these precious handmaidens just unfold and begin to realize that all these things that God had been sharing with them were real. I mean, it's a horrible thing. I know it is a horrible thing to have these wonderful revelations coming into your heart, and you're looking around and saying, but everybody's telling me there's no place for this. And so there was a time there of great discouragement, but you know, I just praise God for the faithfulness of the handmaidens. You know, faithfulness in their prayer for others in the body, and their faithfulness to stay the course, knowing that there was something out there, and that there was something that God had for them, and it couldn't possibly be the way that Satan had portrayed it, even though the people that were saying it in the name of Jesus. So praise God, and we're going to see some glorious things with the handmaidens and with the children. We've talked about that.
And it gives me a particularly strong delight or great delight. God gave me a word concerning that. He said, I'm going to use my precious daughters, and I'm going to use the children, the very two places where Satan has struck. He hates the women and children. I'm going to use them to turn the tables on him. And so we're going to see many strongholds come down. Praise God. Well, praise God, I'm going to go into this. We're coming into the time now where God is moving worldwide for the establishment of the necessary Goshens, or cities of refuge. This, again, has to do with the spiritual environments that God wants to create. These plans are awesome. I mean, I just have a glimpse. I've just got a glimpse into this, but it's expanding daily. All the things I'm speaking about here all run together. And actually, this is the first time I've had an opportunity to actually, you know, speak it all together, and I don't think I could write it all together because I'd still be out somewhere writing. It just keeps expanding. So it's God's will for the establishment of these cities of refuge. Now, you know, there's coming a conflict. God is preparing his army. It is a glorious army. And John, you did so well explaining that. That was such a perfect first message. It just really was. When I get that tape, I'm going to go over that more than a few times. This is real. You know, there's many things going on. The Father desires to bless his children. He desires us to first experience the benefits of the things that were bought for us at the cross. You know, the fullness of our inheritance. I mean, that includes everything. That's every aspect of life. You know, God didn't tell us to lay down our lives and then not, you know, fulfill it with something much greater. Of course not. And we're going to experience that, to all of us, to a greater degree with each passing day as the days go forth. So again, I'm planting seeds here today. There's absolutely no way I could go into detail on this for very long anyways. This is something now that as God imparts the deepest thoughts and intentions of his heart from the throne room, the seeds will go in to the individual's hearts, whether they read the written word or whether they hear sermons or they read an article from an anointed servant of God. That seed's going to go into your heart, and because your heart's fertile ground, God is going to begin immediately to expand that revelation. Amen. I mean, I've seen this happen. It's remarkable. I mean, and we're all growing together. I mean, somebody releases a revelation, and the person gets it, and the next thing you know, they're speaking something, and then the person that just gave the revelation is getting an expanded revelation, and so together, we're growing. And I remember he gave me a word years ago. He said in the last of the last hour, he said it won't take as many words to get the job done. And we know, you know, he said that the power and the anointing on the words and the fertility of my children's hearts will allow me to do what I wanted to do all along. So this thing's accelerating, and our job is just to seek first the kingdom and keep ourselves in that place where our heart is guarded with all diligence. And the whole point, everything I've explained up until now, is that the glorious church is going to rise by the sheer resurrection power and ascension power abiding within each individual believer. Amen. This isn't something, I mean, yeah, we have to build buildings, of course we do, and things like that, but that's going to be a result of revelation. But as people come together in and by the Holy Spirit, you're going to see this thing rise. You're going to see a true working fivefold ministry rise, not by man's organization, but by the individual obedience of the members involved. Amen. And that's the way it is. And if you try to do it any other way, you're going in the wrong direction and you're going into darkness. And I know I'm speaking to the people who you're going to be speaking to because this thing is real and God has a plan. We're going to have a glorious church. I will go back to that for a second. I got away from it. When God told me to eat, sleep, drink, and breathe the word, he began immediately to teach me about the glorious church. And from the beginning, he said that before my church is caught up out of here, not only is there going to be a worldwide harvest, of course, but he said, I'm going to devastate Satan in ways that my people are not even aware of. So, he gave me that in the first place, so I never knew any different. So when I began to hear people, you know, talk about a poor and humble in the sense of, you know, poverty-stricken and powerless, that's not humble, I can tell you. You depend on God, you're not going to be powerless or poverty-stricken. Anyway, as I heard these lies, I mean, it was easy to dismiss them because I knew what the Father had spoken to me. But I wasn't hearing very many people say that. I wasn't. But I am now. Praise God. And so we're going to see some things. And Satan has fought with everything he could these past 20 years or more, I can't define the time, but to prevent precious saints such as yourself from entering into the fullness of all that God had called you. You know, and so many people, I mean, I'm sure everybody could probably come up here and say that you've been walking in a place and you didn't know what it was, the preparation was for. And to a degree, we're all still saying that. But boy, one thing we know for sure, God is in control.
Amen.
And now we can see these things come into focus. And I was up on the cliffs yesterday, and actually the day before I had some time. Marty led me and showed me the cabins, Marty and Kimmy, the cabins and the different things that have been established, and the tent, of course, we saw last night. And I'm in total awe of this thing, because I've seen many a vision concerning things, but when you actually see the fulfillment of it coming to pass in the physical, there's an anointing on that. And it's a sign. I mean, everything that God builds in this last hour and has built up until this time, it is a sign. And it will be a sign and a wonder, first to the hearts of his people and then to this entire earth.
Yeah.
They can disregard it if they want, but it will be a sign and it will be a wonder.
Hallelujah.
Anyway, in this place, he began to give me this revelation. Now, I was at a meeting. I've only been to a few meetings. I wanted to go to a lot, like everybody else back there in the 80s, but God wouldn't let me. I see why I didn't now, but I went to this meeting in November of 83 in Detroit. It was a Believer's Voice of Victory convention, and it was a key. There was a prophecy given before it even began, and the prophecy was this: this meeting will have a tremendous effect on the body of Christ. All right, there was other stuff too, but I don't remember it all. But the point was, it was a very strong and powerful word. Now, I was 3 years in the faith, really, after ignoring my call for so many years, and I didn't know, but I was gung-ho for God. I mean, if he said go, I went, you know. Still do. A little quicker now. So we go to this convention, and the topics were this. Now, you know, it's funny when I look back in light of the things that have happened since then, but, boy, the topics were this. Gloria Copeland preached on walking in the Spirit. And it was wonderful. Actually, it was one of the first times she ever preached in front of a large crowd. She'd been doing an afternoon Bible study. That may speak to somebody. She was now preaching in front of 6,000 people, preaching walking in the Spirit. Jerry Savelle preached on the army of the Lord. Billy Brim preached on the glorious church. Wayne Cochran preached on women in ministry.
Whoa.
Kenneth Copeland preached on that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And then he went on to speak about the danger of sin consciousness. Now, let me tell you, the seeds that were planted in that seminar, I mean, I look back now and I think that's where we are now. And even now I can listen to those tapes and I think, yes, 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 yes. At the time it seemed very high above where I was, but oh, it was glorious. Now, I want to say something about this particular meeting. I believe that God created this. And he's done it in a very special way. Having been here last year, I can see the differences. It doesn't make it any more important or less important, because last year was very important for birthing certain things into place. But I see that the Father has a great purpose in this meeting and in the lives of each individual involved. And of course, it befalls each of us to seek him continually and to allow that purpose to come into that perfect fruition that he desires. And we'll see that. I mean, this is a seed time, or a time of planting seeds. The seeds that are planted will, you know, serve us well and expand in the coming days. We're talking days now. Well, praise God. It's funny, in the last couple of weeks, the Father really placed on my heart this area of true accountability. It's something that it grieves the Holy Spirit when certain things have been said about accountability. I'll go as far as he tells me to go on this, but I was praying about this some time ago, and as has been the case throughout the years, I'd be out praying for the establishment of true leadership in the body of Christ and the establishment of the glorious church. That's what he gave me to pray in 1983. Of course, I thought it was going to happen in about 2 weeks, but been a little longer. Been a little longer, but boy, it's been a glorious journey anyways, and it's about to take off to an even greater degree. But he, as I was praying, certain situations would come up. Now, for the most part, he'd separated me from I grew up in the Methodist church, well, I didn't really grow up there. I went to Sunday school, and then I went away for 20 years. So I don't think that's really growing up in the Methodist Church. But when I did begin to serve the Lord, I began to go there, and thank God the two pastors were Spirit-filled, and there was certainly, we got glimpses of certain things that happened back then. One of them was that we had a glimpse of what true revival was. It just happened to be 1982, and the punk movement was kind of coming into its own. It had come over from England and had reached Canada and the U.S. too. And what had happened was we were working with the youth group. We were leaders, and there was, of course, a certain amount of people in the church, kids. I think there was about 35. And what happened was, in the summertime, they shut down. Like, they would have one service every week on Sunday, because in that particular church was fairly well off, and, well, at least outwardly. And so in the summertime, people went away to cottages, you know, for 2 or 3 months at a time. So they just kind of closed down a lot of activities. One of them was the youth group. So anyway, another chap that I worked with, he had a revelation from God. He said, go and ask the pastor, can we use the church and to keep the youth group going throughout the summer? So the pastor said yes. So anyway, we kept holding the meetings. So what began to happen was these kids were acting on what was being taught there, and they were going out into the street, and these people that weren't, they were unchurched kids. It was the first time I'd ever seen unchurched kids. I grew up in a generation, and basically that were still, at least the Bible was somewhere in there. Whether they applied it properly, I can't say, but at least it was there. And, you know, you went to Sunday school, whether you wanted to or not. But these kids want, it was a very strange thing for me to see this. But I'll tell you, I saw something. And this is the glimpse I'm talking about. When these kids came in, they got born again, they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, they began to operate in the gifts. And, you know, people began to prophesy the different gifts that they had. I remember one little girl, precious little girl, she had you could see it so clear, she had the gift of healing, you know, I mean, she came in with the, I don't know if they had earrings. They had something. They had strange things anyways. And but they came in, and boy, it all just fell off them. And they were unreligious. They didn't have to unlearn the religious stuff. They just took the word at face value, you know, in the face of God, and they acted on it, and we saw some amazing things. So it was a glimpse. Well, to make a long story short, religion got in there. And, you know, it forced me to withdraw from that place, just, you know, quietly. I mean, it wasn't a contentious thing. The father said, it's time to leave. And I did, but anyway, my point was, God's given glimpses throughout the years, and it's about to come together. And the main thing is that when, you know, we are prepared individually in this time, then we're going to be able to comprehend what's about to come forth. It's a glorious thing. It's a glorious thing. So anyway, getting back to true accountability, in the past, wow, I'd heard certain things, not against accountability. But we have to define what it means, all things, what they mean in light of what the Father's saying, and what are the deepest thoughts and intentions of His heart, and that He's put first, and His Word's put first. And as we know, there's been a lot of emotional attachments in families, in relationships of all kinds, in families, in the church, in the ministry, amongst, you know, the congregations, right? Now, I got a word some years ago, and it was this. And the Holy Spirit spoke this to me, and He said that emotional attachments, He's talking now on a soulish level, of course, are the bane to one entering into the fullness of ministry. Amen. And I'll actually expand that a little further. Entrance into the fullness of ministry is predicated on entering into the fullness of your inheritance in Christ. That's where you enter into the fullness of your ministry. All right. Now, I'm not saying you don't have ministry, but you make the decision to enter into the fullness of Christ. That's where your true ministry begins. Okay. Now, so what has happened then, what God wants to do is, He doesn't want His people in environments where they're operating in emotions on the soulish level, because the devil's going to be there causing them to remain in a place that's lower than they need to be. Yeah. And I say we need to be. Certainly we should be, because we love God and we should be serving Him. If nothing else happened, we should just serve Him because we love Him. But now when we go over in terms of warfare, we need to begin to understand the importance of positioning. You know, first of all, our own individual positioning. Really the way of the kingdom. I mean, there's a lot that's going to come forth in the kingdom now and the kingdom principles. But really the way of the kingdom is simply this. Being in and by the Holy Spirit, in the right place, at the right time, doing the righteous thing in obedience to God. And you will see the kingdom around you. You'll be in the kingdom, and you will be expanding the kingdom wherever you go and representing the kingdom perfectly. So it's very important. So I'm not going to say too much more on this area of true accountability, but the word that the Father gave me was this: all accountability, all true accountability, begins before my face, begins and ends before my face in my throne room. You know, now we it was mentioned earlier today, and we sang it too, about the Alpha and the Omega. Every true Christian work can be classified this way. It begins and it ends in and by the power of God. That is it. That's Christ all in all. Amen. That's very, very important. Remember, we're moving into a place of absolute truth. I'm telling you, this is getting less complicated and very simple, but the absoluteness of Jesus Christ is being revealed. The absoluteness of the Father's plan is being revealed. And each one of us has a part in that plan. Each one of us has to bring that to the table. And that's so important. So I thought I was going to preach out of... I am, praise God. Turn over to Numbers 15. Now I'm just touching on certain things. And again, these will be expanded in the future. Now basically in this scripture, or this portion of scripture, and I want you to see this as a type of what we're entering into right now. Because the judgment of the judgment on God's household is about to escalate. And he's starting right at the top. And he's starting with those who should know better. Now in chapter 15, it starts off in verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, and speak to the sons of Israel, and say." And you go down to verse 17, same chapter. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying." Okay. Then you go down to verse 37, same chapter. "The Lord also spoke to Moses, saying." All right, so now Moses is up on the mountain. He's with God. He's in that place. And to us, that's a type and symbol of the inner chamber. It's the place where revelation is born. I want to go back for a second. Those spiritual environments I talked about, when God creates those true spiritual environments, it is the place where revelation is born. It's why when you get together with kindred spirits, revelation will be born. You may get in a situation, you will get in a situation, where you're not going to know what's going on. But you're going to come in with those people that God has established with you and brought you together with. You're going to sit down, and it's not going to take very long for the Father to unfold his plan to your heart. You know, we're not going to have to pray for 3 weeks to get the answer. If we do, fine. But in most cases now, as these environments are created, as the hearts of God's people turn wholly back to him, you're going to see an acceleration and an elevation in our thinking and in the way things are going to take place. You're going to see that. It's going to be very clear. It's exciting. Again, I've had glimpses. The glimpses are enough to boggle my mind, but also excite me and create a deep sense of anticipation in me. And this anticipation, you cannot underestimate the importance of anticipation. We see it throughout the Bible where the lame man, they anticipated, the blind man, they anticipated. Hallelujah. Right? And John mentioned the compassion of God, I believe it was John, mentioned about compassion, and I think Lloyd did too. And I know Bill did last night too. The point is that as we come into that place of deep and tender fellowship with the Father, then we begin to get a compassion. We're going to see compassion here on the part of Moses. And we're going to see that what happened because of that. Okay, so now, he's gone up there, and God's giving him a wonderful word. And I'm not going to go into that now, but this particular one was the sign of the tassel, which was, Bob could do this a lot better than I could. But it has to do with holiness, of course, and doing, again, let's just take a quick look here in verse 40. Verse 39. "And it shall be a tassel..." Well, let's start at 38. "Speak to the sons of Israel and tell them that they shall make for themselves tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and that they shall put on the tassel of each corner a cord of blue, and it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, all the commandments of the Lord, so as to do them, not just to remember them, but to do them, boy, and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you played the harlot, in order that you may remember, remember the golden calf, that's been mentioned a few times, in order that you may remember to do all my commandments, another deepest thought and intention of the Father's heart, that you might do all my commandments. He knows what's best for us. Everything he gives us to do, everything he says to us, everything he says through us is for our greatest eternal benefit and the greatest eternal benefit of all those we minister to. That's a heavy responsibility. You know, people want to do something. You want to evangelize the world. You want to establish ministers. You want to do this. You want to do that. No, we have to do it in God's plan. Amen. Because the greatest thing we can do for any individual or any corporate group that we speak to or act on their behalf of is to obey God from a revelation given in the throne room. That is the greatest outpouring of love you can do. Whether they like it or not, it doesn't make any difference. Our job is to do what God tells us to do. And as we do that, then those that God brings across our path and will experience his greatest eternal benefit. That's very, very important. There is no room for compromise. And if we really, truly love one another, then we'll obey God on the behalf of the one that we're seeking to love. First of all, God, and then those that he gives us. Verse 41, I am the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So Moses gets this wonderful revelation. Again, God reveals his deepest thoughts and intentions, and they don't know the Father. I mean, you see so few, I don't even know if there is a mention in the Old Covenant Father. But he's there in types and symbols. But he had a plan, and he was putting it into place. And the fullness of that plan, of course, couldn't come to pass until Jesus came into the earth and fulfilled his task. Now here's the key. Chapter 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took action. Now Moses just came out of that place of revelation. He's coming with a glorious word to the people. So Moses obviously acted on what God had told him, speak to my people. So he went and took this message. Verse 2. And they rose up before Moses together with some of the sons of Israel. Some of the sons. 250 leaders of the congregation chosen in the assembly. That means God chose them. Now listen to this next line. This is the thing that absolutely, it baffles me to a degree. And it hurts my heart to an even greater degree. He calls them men of renown. What that means basically to me is that they were known for their exploits on God's behalf. In other words, when the Holy Spirit calls them men of renown, he's saying these people were once wholly given to the purposes of God and obviously were a great help to Moses in the past. In the past. Verse 3, and they assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you have gone far enough, for all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? When Moses heard this, he fell on his face. Now let's just draw a little picture here. Moses has gone up. He's gotten the revelation from the Father in the throne room. He's come down with the greatest eternal benefit of God's people, the people of Israel in this case, in mind. And knowing Moses, he loved the people of God. And he wanted to see them come into the fullness of what God had for them. And then this happened. As when Moses heard this, he fell on his face. Now, Moses could have reacted a different way. And in the future, he actually did. But the point was this, that Moses was not provoked by this attack of the enemy. through a blatant spirit of rebellion, that's always the toughest attack. I'm going to tell you right now that the hardest thing you'll face in the way of a religious spirit is a spirit of rebellion. Because, and that's really where they're centralized. Actually, they're rooted in the spirit of death. But that is the thing. I mean, you could stand there in the face of a spirit of rebellion, and it just sucks the life, seems to suck the life right out of you. And so you have to wait. And you wait, and you wait, and you wait. And then God will give you the word to speak to counteract that. It's a very unpleasant feeling. But we're not an army that's going to be moved by our feelings. We're not an army that can be moved by our feelings and overcome. So Moses began to intercede, and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will bring him near to himself, even the one whom he will choose. He will bring near to himself." And then he gave some instructions, and that's not the point of this now. But the end, he ended it with, "You have gone far enough, you sons of Levi." Now, okay, I want to draw this in here because I don't want to go on too long here. But there is an important point here that the Father wants to get across, and it's this. In this time and in these days now, there will be an explosion of wisdom and revelation from the throne room of God. This will all come in line with God's people who have put themselves in a position to partake and release this new level of discernment. It will lead to the creation of all the things I've spoke of, the spiritual environments, the glorious connections. It will lead to true accountability in the midst of these places. It will cause, these spiritual environments will cause God's accomplished to accelerate and to rapidly expand in the earth. I actually have one more element to add to this, all right? But Satan will try to contend with this revelation going forth. It is the revelation that will truly bring God's people into the one accord that the Father so desires. It is the place of power. It is the place that Satan has to stop us from coming into, or he is done. Well, he is done, but he's going to try and stop. Now, the key to this then was that there, Moses, God went through this whole story. I'm certainly not going to deal with this. I really would like you people to read the whole thing because it does touch a lot of things. But the main point I want to say here is that there is going to come a persecution as you go forth to minister the words that God gives you and has given you in the past and is going to give you. And your call is to walk in love and to not be provoked from that place. Amen. Right? And to take the steps necessary, whatever that may mean, to stay in that position. You will overcome and you will be vindicated. All right? But you must do that because God is coming against the spirit of rebellion in the midst of his people. And it's going to be a devastating judgment, and it will become a sign and a wonder to those, and it will cause hearts to tremble, and it will cause a great and deep repentance in the midst of God's people. Because I'll tell you, once these spirits of control are dealt with, you will see people come out of where they've been and into the fullness of God's plan, and you will see the local churches, the true local church, begin to be established in the earth. And this is like a domino effect. And so our job then, and it's incomprehensible to our mind, so our job then is to obey and carry out our individual place. And then corporately, God will handle everything else. It is the place of rest. Bill and I talked about this the other day. We're going to get a very, very, I don't know how to explain it, a deeper revelation of the rest of God. You know, Isaiah 58 defines it as ceasing from our own works in a type and symbol. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. An army, a group of people who are just, everything they do, they're doing nothing apart from Christ. Everything they say, everything they do, everything they touch, they do it in a manner where Christ is represented and as all in all. These are absolute principles. And God's given us the anointing to carry it out individually and to create and fulfill everything he called us to fulfill in this lifetime. So there will come provocation. It is extremely important that when that comes, that you walk in love. Okay, that's all I need to say on that. Now, I quickly have to do this. I mentioned, I touched on the importance of the establishment of the cities of refuge, the Goshens. And I'm not going to go into all that, but the point is they will be necessary, and God is going to do that, and it's been on my heart. So, early in this year, I believe it was Shelley had a word concerning, I don't know if it was 531 or something, was that it? 325, close. anyway, it had to do with timing. And, you know, as soon as I read that word, I had a very distinct impression on my heart, a very heavy impression that September was important. Now, I mean, every month is important. I don't think that's, that could be understood. But I really, when I thought of this, the importance of the establishment of these true spiritual environments in this time, this would be a time where this would really take off. And, of course, I'm seeing some of that. Now, there's one thing that's going to be necessary. Obviously, we can operate in obedience and establish a true spiritual environment in our homes, in our ministries, and in the things that, you know, we have to do with right now. But God has some glorious plans, and he's going to expand them all in your hearts individually, too, in what he's giving you to do. And I would exhort you strongly to allow him to expand it. Okay, and I'm going to say, and I'm going to tell you why. He told me this just a short time ago. He said, tell my children to allow me to enlarge their hearts and to expand their thinking concerning the revelations I've already given them concerning my plan for their life and ministry. He said, because the time is coming, and soon will be, wherein money or finances will be no object. Now, I'm telling you, when I first got that word, God spent some time renewing my mind, because, like many others, I was in the cave for a long time. And, you know, $100 looked pretty good in the cave, I'll tell you. But you can't win the world with $100. And I'm being a little blatant here now. What God is saying is this, is that money will be no object. We are not used to thinking in those terms, you know. And so each and every one of us need to go in there and allow him to just give us the revelation we need. And as we are acclimatized to his presence and his way of thinking day in, day out, then you see, hey, that's not such a hard thing. Okay, you know, and we're talking millions and trillions of dollars coming into the body of Christ. I didn't even know what $1 trillion was until a few months ago. I still don't much know, and I certainly can't comprehend it. But I do know that there are vast amounts coming. Now, I'm going to quickly close in this because it's important to close. because if you don't close, you're going to go for a while on these things. Okay, so I've covered the importance of a lot of things here to the Father's heart, and I started off by qualifying these things by saying that these are the things that God is establishing and entrusting to those whose hearts are wholly given, to those who desire to do all of his commandments, just like the Father spoke to Moses there. To those who will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in all things, at all cost to themselves, regardless of what the devil tries to do. Amen. I remember last year I was able to minister just a bit on the effects of standing in the face of satanic attack. And as you walk in love, you are going to turn that back against him and with multiplied harm. That's the way it is. That is what God called the law of divine retribution. In other words, as we walk in love, when Satan comes against his children, God's coming against Satan in a big way. In a big way. In the way that will, as we prayed earlier, the way that will hurt him to the greatest degree. I've seen these things at work. It's a glorious time. It's good to see the devil hurt. It is good to see the devil hurt, because when the devil's hurt, the captives are going to be freed. And when he's hurt the way that God wants to hurt him and devastate those strongholds, those captives are going to get born again or freed from religion, first of all, if they already are, or they're going to get born again and they're going to step in to the kingdom or the fullness of kingdom life, because that's where we're headed. That's where we were always supposed to be, but as you know, some things got into the church over the years. So, my point is that everything that I've spoken about here today is predicated on that the importance, or predicated on the place of abiding in intimate fellowship with the Father and his word. And I'm just going to give you an example here. Turn over to Isaiah 23. It is so important to realize that, I mean, there's a lot of people out there, at least from what I understand, by the way they're speaking, they expect certain things to come into their hands, but yet maintain a self-agenda. It will not happen. God cannot entrust, He will not entrust, the true riches or the riches of wealth that belong to Jesus. I'd love to go into some of that, because God's taught me some things over the last while. Okay, Isaiah 23. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Now, in this word, and Bill's going to teach you, it's funny, I was at Bill's the other night there, and I was talking a bit about some of these things, and Bill was talking about some of the things that God was sharing with him. And what God was sharing with him was in Isaiah 22, and what he was sharing with me was just at the end of Isaiah 23. And so I'm sure Bill's going to share some things on that. But I just want to say this about that. Now, we're talking about the end time wealth transfer. That's not a dirty word. And the people who think it's a dirty word don't need to be concerned about it, because they're not going to partake of it. Verse 17. And it will come about at the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre. And that's a type of the world system and the Babylonian system of finance. Then she will go back to her harlot's wages and will play the harlot with all the kingdoms on the face of the earth. Now, there's a real good teaching on this. I don't know if anybody here has heard of Gary Carpenter. Does anybody? Okay. I really strongly urge that you get into his website. I can give you that website address and begin to partake of that ministry, because God has given him some revelation that we need to have if we're going to be true stewards in this end time. And so remind me of that. Okay, then she will go back to her harlot's wages and will play the harlot with all the kingdoms on the face of the earth. And her gain and her harlot's wages will be set apart to the Lord. We've heard the scriptures about the wicked gathering up for the righteous. We've heard the wealth of the sinners laid up for the righteous. And her gain and her harlot's wages will be set apart to the Lord. It will not be stored up or hoarded. Now, what is the plan that Satan's had with finances in this earth? What does he do when he gets hold of some wealthy person that's serving him? He hoards it, doesn't he? I forget what the exact figure was, but it's something like 5% of the population own 95% of the world's wealth. Oh, is that going to flip-flop? Oh, praise God. I mean, they're just gathering it. God's a very efficient God. They're either going to repent or they're going to lose some things. So it will no longer be stored up or hoarded. That's not God's will to store up and hoard money. Heavens. No. He's going to release it. First of all, into the hands of those people who will do exactly what he wants to do with it. And then to establish the ministries and the things that need to be established. And I could go for a while on this, because I know the Father's heart on this. He's going to look after the widows and the orphans. He's going to feed the poor. He's going to establish ministries that will minister the uncompromised word of salvation. That includes the fullness of his inheritance. And that is a very important thing. And it's going to happen very rapidly, because this is soon upon us. And even now, you know, certain instructions that God's given me, what will happen when this money comes into the proper hands and is distributed properly, it will cause the will of God to manifest, start popping up immediately, because there's people all over the earth, and I'm sure all of you here have certain revelations and visions and dreams that God has given you, and they were all wild, I mean totally beyond your own comprehension. But I'm telling you this, even allow your mind to be expanded, because money will be no object to those whose hearts are wholly given in this last time. Now, listen to this. But her gain, in other words, the gain of selfishness and greed and all the things that system is motivated by, will become sufficient food and choice attire for those who dwell in the presence of the Lord. And that's the key, and it sums up everything I've said here. And the point is, I could go into a bit about the sufficient food. What is our food? To do the will of the Father. Amen. So the sufficiency will be used for that. And the choice attire, what are we clothed in? Righteousness. And the love of God, you know, flowing out from us. You can see now that God has a plan for this end time harvest, and it's far greater than our wildest imaginations. Everything we get from here on in will be from him, or it will be incomprehensible. And one last thing, I just want to share this prophecy that he gave me, and it really does tie in these different things we've talked about, including those who have hardened their hearts and who will be used for a very short time. This will not be a long persecution. This will be a very short and final gathering, and he will make any rebellion in this last hour a sign and a wonder to those who would be rebellious. The title of this word was, "I shall bring abundant prosperity such as the world has never seen upon those who abide in my word." And I just want to say that prosperity, the true prosperity and the divine prosperity, the greatest prosperity you'll ever have, is a revelation of your Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And somewhere down in its perfect place is the finances that are necessary to do the work of the kingdom. But if anything is put out of this order or motivated from some other motivation other than a love of God, it will not work, and God will show that in this last time. So let us be those who are walking and abiding in his love. "As my children begin to assimilate my word into their spirits, I shall be enabled to reveal to them the thoughts and intentions of my heart. And I will satisfy their desires even in the scorched places, and I will guide them continually. But many will turn their gaze from me and harden their hearts against me, having been held captive by the evil one to do his will. And truly, truly, I say to you, the consuming fire of my spirit will cause my children to either run farther from me or closer to me. But whatever choice is made, truly, truly, I say to you, it shall be their own. For I will not usurp the will of a man who has had my anointed word put forth to him." We're talking now about leadership here. "For in having the truth revealed to his heart, he must choose to believe what I will, or surely he will lean on his own understanding and follow his own selfish ambition. For truly I say to you that if my children do not believe that what I will is best for them, surely they themselves will seek after their own understanding." In other words, he's saying if my children don't come into that place of absolute trust of me, then surely they will lean on their own understanding. And that's the danger. It's why we must be in that place where the perfect love of the Father can cast out all the ground of fear in our lives, so that we can enter into this place of abiding. So he says, "Surely they themselves will seek after their own understanding." But then he says this, "Rejoice, for I have raised up many who will put forth my will in power, my word. And my children will once again cry out, 'Abba, Father,' from their hearts. For I have been maligned falsely as one who does not meet the needs of his children. But truly I say to you, I shall bring abundant, superabundant prosperity, such as the world has never seen, upon those who abide in my word. For in this last hour, the truth shall set free all those who truly love me from the bondage which up until this time they have allowed themselves to be chained with." Whoa. Yeah. Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for this weekend. I thank you for this time of ministry. We worship you and we praise you, and we thank you that you are revealing yourself to a continually greater degree with each passing day. And we give you all the glory, and we thank you, and we long with eager anticipation to see you reveal yourself the way you've always desired to reveal yourself in the midst of your children. And I thank you, Father, for these faithful and precious people. And I thank you, Father, that you bless them and you confirm this word with great signs and wonders in their heart. And I thank you that they're established in the fullness of all that you've created them for. And I praise you and thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.